Greetings, this is Lance O for Shockwave, all courtesy of Culture Shock. And today we have a very special guest, a man that has been a member of Inner Circle Band since 1973, has toured with the Rolling Stones, played on several Bob Marley albums, and is a part of 30 years of some of reggae's biggest hits from the 60s all the way till today. Please help me welcome Mr. Bernard, aka Touter Harvey. Mr. Touter, much respect.
Give thanks, man. Give thanks.
Yeah, man.
Putting great.
Nice. You know? That's good to hear. And how's the music for you at the moment?
Well, right now is more production due to the situation as it is right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, starting to do more and more production because for the past year, all the touring has been off. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to redirect your efforts.
Now, what have you been doing personally and specifically? Are you writing? Are you playing? Are you creating tracks? Are you creating? Are you working with other people, or is it just Inner Circle stuff? What do you have going on?
A lot of what I do is mainly with Inner Circle. But if and when other people ask me to do things, you know, I see if I want to do it first, and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least you have to get an idea of who you're working with, when, you know, and if the vibe, if they're on the same vibe as you, you know, if they're on the same page as you, if they're on the same page, it makes sense.
So what are some, is there anything you can talk about right now that you're working on or that's going to be coming out that you've already worked on? Is there any projects?
No, we don't really want to even go there right now. No.
Okay.
Because, you know, nobody likes to pre-release things before.
Yeah, that's true. That's why I asked if there was, you know, because I know how that goes, of course. You know, I've always, as long as I've known you, I've always wondered, tell us first about the name Touter. Where does Touter come from and how'd you get that name?
Well, to be honest with you, Tyrone Downey started calling me Touter.
Okay.
Yeah, Tyrone Downey is the keyboard player who has toured with BMW for many years, from about 74 right through up until till Bob Marley's passing, you know, and it's kind of funny because Tyrone and I come from a similar area in Kingston, not far from each other.
Okay.
You know,
what areas were those?
I'm from Whitfield Town, and he's further up the road.
Okay.
You know, but the fact is that we kind of mirror each other in a lot of ways.
Okay.
Originally, Tyrone was playing with a band called Youth Professionals.
Uh-huh. Young professionals.
Yeah, youth professionals. Okay. Yes, the youth professionals consisted of the Barrett brothers, David Bryan on guitar, Vin Gordon as a trombone player. Noel Tempo on guitar, and Carl Dawkins as the lead singer.
Sound like an all-star cast.
Well, it was an all-star cast.
Yeah.
You know, so that was where Tyrone was playing at the time. Anyway, somehow Tyrone quit. So when Tyrone quit, the guy who was actually managing the band, another illustrious Mr. Charlie Ace, came to Excelsior looking for a keyboard player. And at the time, somebody directed him to me.
Okay.
I did not consider myself a keyboard player at the time.
Okay, okay.
I was playing trombone in the school band.
Okay.
But I was highly motivated as a young individual interested in music. So with this opportunity, I told him I would love to come and hear the band play and see the band.
Right.
You know, he says, "Yeah, well, because I was asking him questions along the way because he was looking for a keyboard player. He says, "Oh, we have the best trombone player, Vin Gordon. We have the best." I'm like, "Okay, all right." You know, so
Yeah.
All right, let me go see what, you know, check this out anyway.
Yeah.
And that's how he says, come to the rehearsal. So I went to the rehearsals and I sat there observing them play for about 2 hours or so. And while I'm sitting there, he says, can you sing a harmony? And I said to him, yeah. To be honest with you, I'd never sung a harmony in a group before.
Well, got your foot in the door, right? So how did it come about with you playing keyboards then, you went there?
Well, they found a keyboard player, a guy named Junior Bowen. As a matter of fact, I think Junior lives in Fort Lauderdale right now.
Okay.
And Junior played for 2 weeks. No, 1 weekend. He played 1 weekend.
Okay.
And he never came back. So we're waiting the following weekend, like a Monday or Tuesday, we're waiting for him for rehearsal. He didn't show up.
Okay.
And the guys decided, look, we ain't gonna go look for no other keyboard player, man. You know what? You have an idea about keyboards and this, that. We're gonna teach you what we need. And with that, Mr. Barrett, Aston Barrett from Le Mans.
Yeah.
And David Bryan, those two individuals actually took me and started showing me, okay, this is what you need to do, this is how you do this, this is. So basically, I learned to play keyboard from a bass player and a rhythm guitar player.
Well, hey, obviously it worked.
You know, obviously it worked.
Yeah, right. Obviously. You know? So then, I guess that connection, that association with the youth professionals created the path to working with Bob.
Exactly, because these were the same individuals who were doing sessions as the Upsetters,
right,
the Hippie Boys,
yep.
The Aggravators. Mm-hmm. These were the same individuals, all these individuals, just depending on which producer they were playing for. So with that...
So wait a minute, hold on. So you're saying that's the same band with different names under different producers?
Yes.
Yo, them Jinamas.
Well, it's just the way it was at the time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One or two players may change,
right.
You know what I mean? A guy may use a different guitar player or a different percussion player or something like that.
Oh, man.
You know? And so it come around. Incidentally, it's so funny that we're talking about this now because it reminds me there was another young musician who used to come around at the time, and he wasn't even playing an instrument yet.
Okay.
He was coming to Family Man, and he had a guitar with three strings, and Family was teaching him after rehearsals.
Okay. And who is this?
The great Robert Shakespeare.
Oh, my God. Of Sly and Robbie.
Yes.
Oh my God. Wow. This is a lot going on here. And how old were you during all this? I mean, if they came to Excelsior, that means you were probably, what, a teenager?
About 14, 15, somewhere around there.
So you were a professional by the time you were 15. Wow. And you haven't stopped.
Right.
Okay. So how long did the youth professionals... Well, how long did that last, and then what happened after that?
It lasted for a while. I can't say how long it lasted,
okay.
But it lasted for a while until when BMW decided to tour as a band.
Well, for those who don't know, BMW is Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decided to tour as a band.
Okay.
Aston and Carly, the Barrett brothers,
okay,
to come in,
right?
You know?
Right. So you ended up touring with Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I never toured with Bob. I played.
Okay.
In Jamaica.
Okay.
In Jamaica.
Okay.
The shows in Jamaica I did with Bob. That was later on.
Okay.
That was much later on.
Okay.
But I think that was in 72 or 73. I can't remember when they left first, 72, I think it was. And in 72, when they left to join Bob, they did that tour and everything, you know what I mean? And you know, I mean, I was excited as a kid because when they came back, they were telling you all what they did and all this and that, you know? So it was good, you know what I mean, to have that. Get
that connection.
Connection.
Yeah. So then moving forward with this Bob connection, the Bob Marley connection, when was the first time you recorded with him?
Well, that was on the Naughty Dread album.
So that was 74.
Yeah, on the Naughty Dread album. You know, the album was released probably 74, but we did it earlier.
Right, of course.
We probably did it a year earlier, like 9 months earlier, something like that.
Okay.
So that was at that time because of the connection that we had.
Right.
At that time, you know, family called me in and Bob, you know, introduced me to Bob. And
isn't that the same time you joined Inner Circle?
No, I went with Inner Circle a little bit later than that.
Okay.
Because there was a, it's almost like a 2 year period in between because I was doing some stuff and I did that album with Bob, the Naughty Dread album. Bob toured that Tyrone. I was kind of expecting to go with that tour, but somehow Tyrone ended up. Oh, I know exactly what happened. I was not able. I was still in school.
Oh, okay. Well,
I was still
in
school. And there was no way I could tell my dad that I'm going to go on tour, you know what I mean, for how many months or whatever.
Yeah, be away.
You know what I mean? Yeah, school was more important to finish school.
Mm.
So that was the path that was there. So Tyrone ended up doing that tour. As a matter of fact, I think the early tour with Bob phone Wire, which,
okay.
Which Wire also went to high school with me too.
He went
to Excelsior.
Okay.
With me, you know, so Wire got in the picture for that because Wire was out of school by then and he was able to go on tour. So, as I said, and I told somebody this recently, I think it was on Facebook that I mentioned, I said, both Tyrone and I were with the Marley organization before Wire.
Right. Yeah, obviously.
You know, it's just that Wire was
older.
He was a couple of years older and ahead of us. So.
And a little more capable.
Due
to the circumstances.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about the other work you did with Bob, not because I know you worked on several albums with Bob. What are the other albums and the works that you did with Bob?
Well, I played two complete albums with him.
Okay.
I played two complete albums, which is the Naughty Dread album and the Rastaman Vibration album.
Okay.
Now, there are takes that were taken from those sessions that ended up on other albums later on.
Okay.
For example, one of the songs I remember recently was Crisis, No Matter What the Crisis. I think it came on the Kaya album or something.
Yeah, it did.
And that was done from way early on.
Right.
But Bob have a way of doing that, you know, he'll cut like 15 or so tracks.
Right.
I mean, only 10 come on the album. And the rest you keep up for later. And
you never know
when it is gonna, where it's going to end up.
So did your part of the composition was your keyboard playing was what was on the songs?
Yes.
Your originality.
Yes, yes.
And so let me ask you this, because if I'm not mistaken, I don't recall your name being on too much of the album credits.
You want to know the truth?
Of course we want to know the truth.
The truth is that I was a little bit ticked off. I was going to use a different word, but
yeah.
I was a little bit ticked off, especially with Rastaman Vibration.
Uh-huh.
Because not only did I not get paid, but I never got credit. You know, and in this business, credit is everything. You know, the finances is good, but credit means that you work again.
Right.
You know, because if somebody sees you, you get credited on something that they like, you know, you're gonna get a call for that next job.
Right.
When you don't get credit, you're not gonna get that call.
No.
It's as simple as that.
Well, for the record, so you played on all 10 songs on Naughty Dread.
Yeah.
You played on what was it? How many tracks were on Rastaman Vibration?
All of them.
All of them. So you play on all of them.
Yeah.
And then what other songs that came out later did you play?
I must admit, Tyrone was there for Rastaman Vibration. Tyrone was also there.
Okay. But he got credit.
Yeah, he got credit.
Right. That's the difference.
And I got credit on Not a Dread too.
You did?
I got credit. Not a Dread is the only album I got full credit.
Okay. Okay. Because it was Rastaman Vibration you did.
Rastaman Vibration, I didn't get credit.
But what about like Crisis and the other songs that came out
later? The truth is that by this point when those songs came out, I was already within a circle.
Okay.
And I was very happy with what I was doing.
Okay.
At that time, you know what I mean? So it didn't sting as much.
There wasn't much salt involved at that time.
Right.
All right. Well then, all right. So what was... So, what was...
Wait, just a little longer.
Okay. So, what was the transition? You said there was a two-year period between Youth Professionals, Bob, and Inner Circle.
Yeah.
So...
It's hard to say because what happened with... when Bob left... When Family Man... and then left and went with Bob. We were still, Youth Professional was still going on. Robbie replaced Family Man, as I told you.
Right.
Robbie was already waiting in the wings.
Right, right.
So Robbie replaced Family Man right there. And a drummer named Tin Legs, who also played within a circle, Lloyd Adams is his name.
Okay.
He replaced Carly.
Okay.
In Youth Professional. And that went for maybe another year or so until the club burned down.
Oh.
Yeah, that club burned down. So when that club burned down...
Where the band was playing.
Where the band was playing.
Okay. What was the name of the club, you remember?
Green Mist.
Green Mist, okay.
Yeah.
And they never rebuilt it back, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
but
I don't...
The owner of the club got in touch with one of his friends on Reddles Road. You know all those...
Yeah, yeah.
The Chinese mafia in Jamaica. You know what I mean? They were the businessmen at the time.
Still are.
He got called one of his other friends up on Reddles Road at a club.
Mm-hmm.
And... offered him our services.
Okay.
So, from that point on, we were dealing with somebody else.
Okay.
So, at that point, Robbie and I actually took over the band, the Youth Professional. I don't remember. I think we called it something else after that. I really don't remember.
So.
But we took it over and we went up to Reddles Road. Now, Reddles Road, had a bunch of clubs in line.
Right.
You know what I mean? In one, Sly was playing in one club. The club, we were at the top of the chain up here.
Okay.
At the last club in line, we were playing there. Sly was playing at this one here. And over here, I'm trying to remember, Lloyd Parks ended up playing there. But I'm just trying to remember the sequence of things. You know, I think at the time when Sly was there, Lloyd was also playing with Sly.
Okay.
Lloyd and Sly was in the same band at the time called Skin, Flesh and Bones.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? Okay. And then Lloyd left and went to a club called Stables, which was the next club over and had his own thing.
Okay.
You know, so we all, you know, everybody kind of knew each other.
Right.
And at any given time, if you were to come to that club, you'd never really see the band that was... If you come early, you'll see the band who was supposed to be playing there.
Right.
But if you come later on during the night, you come at 11, 12 o'clock at night, you never know who you're going to see on stage. Because we'd all switch around.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like good vibes, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So so then you moved on to Inner Circle. And
happened was I went to Otrius.
Okay.
I went to Otrius, and while being in Otrius, I met another illustrious, the great Mr. Lawrence Lindo, better known as Jack Ruby.
Jack Ruby, yep.
Yes, so with Jack Ruby, he had the years with Burning Spear. So again, living in Orchard and being there, in a way, it's almost like, I don't want to use this term because I think at the time I was too young to even do that, but I kind of became almost like a musical director with Burning Spear because I was on hand. I was actually on hand. So sometime when they have an idea and come by Jack to run it down, you know what I mean? With me sitting there with a little piano or whatever.
Right.
Just trying to
find the right key.
Yeah, find it out. They bring their guitars and so on and forth. But, you know, I was there before we went to Kingston with all the other musicians. And so we had a little idea of what's going on. And Jack relied on me for that, too.
Well, so, I mean, you know, he used to have that little talent thing he would do, and he found some amazing talent.
Yeah.
Because he was like, correct me if I'm mistaken, but it seemed like he was one of the only people out in the country really doing any kind of level of music.
Well, I wouldn't say he was the only one, though, but he took it very seriously.
Right.
Jack took it very serious.
Yeah.
You know, Jack loved the music, even though he was a hi-fi discotheque man. He had his sound system, but he took the music serious, and he wanted to expand on it.
Yeah.
You know, so if you notice, I'll give you two, especially two, the Marcus Garvey album and the, what was it, Slavery Days?
Slavery Days, yeah.
Slavery Days album. Those two albums, you know what I mean? Again, two classic phenomenal albums produced by Jack Ruby.
Yeah, were you involved in either one of them?
Both of them.
Oh, both of them.
With the exception of Marcus Garvey, which Tyrone Downey actually played, and I think Family Man played that too. But the rest of them, but you have to remember by this time again, immediately after Tyrone and Fams did the Marcus Garvey, shortly after that, Bob tapped him to go tour.
Right.
So Tyrone was gone again, so it was me.
okay.
You know, it's kind of funny if you want to look at it that way.
That's true.
But I think, you know, I mean, for some reason, I end up being in the right place at the right time.
No, it sounded like it.
You know, for
it sounded like you were the chosen one.
for things to happen. You know, as I tell people, I'm not the greatest keyboard player, but it just so happened that I'm in that situation. I got placed in that situation at that time.
As much of them about the music as we're talking about, name some of the other songs, because I know, you know, you have been a part of some of, not only with Bob and Inner Circle, but you have been a part of some of reggae's biggest songs. I think about, you know,
Gregory Isaac, for example, the first song that came out of Channel One Studio, the first hit record that came out of Channel One Studio, was Soul Syndicate was the backing band.
Right.
And I was a keyboard player on that with Gregory Isaac. So we did it for Phil Pratt, a guy named Phil Pratt.
Yeah.
All I Have Is Love.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's not too far from your neighborhood, though, right?
Well, I was born right down the street from Channel One.
Maxfield, right?
Maxfield Avenue.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's, you know? I'll tell you, between you and I, that is probably one of my favorite labels, Channel One. That is my sound right there.
I grew up with the Ukim brothers.
Okay.
You know, in a sense that it's not like I grew up with them and talked to them every day, but we knew each other, we knew of each other, and as growing up as kids, as men, they were older than me, the Ukim brothers.
Course.
But the fact is that we knew them, and they were people person.
Yeah.
You know,
those
brothers, they were people person. So they knew me, which is how come when Channel One started doing sessions and they actually got aside. I was still living in Orchard at the time.
Okay.
But so I would actually travel, every Monday I would travel into Kingston just to do Joe Ukim session.
Okay.
Any session for Channel One with Joe Ukim, I'd have to go into Kingston to do that.
So tell us some of the other records you were on. Well, were you on any of the Mighty Diamonds records?
All of them. Most of Revolutionary stuff.
Okay.
You know, it was, as a matter of fact, the original Revolutionaries, MPLA and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It was Rancho McLean on bass.
Okay, I don't.
Dougie Radcliffe Bryan mm-hmm. on lead guitar. Ansa Collins on organ, sometimes Tarzan on organ.
Okay.
And me, of course.
Right. Who was drums?
Drums was Sly.
Okay.
Sticky on percussion.
Okay.
You know, sometimes Scully.
Yeah.
Sometimes both of them. Yeah. you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was always, that was a team in general.
Okay.
In general.
But,
you know,
what about
but later on, mm-hmm. you know, talking about revolutionaries, later on, at some point in time, you know what I mean, we had another keyboard, Winston Wright would sit in sometime.
Yeah.
And Robbie came in, and when Robbie first came in, Robbie ended up playing rhythm guitar. Robbie Shakespeare ended up playing rhythm guitar. And then later on, he moved over to bass, and Ranchi switched back over and played guitar. Because Ranchi's an excellent guitar player.
Okay.
But he was playing bass for the most part, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, there was Uptown.
Top ranking.
Yeah. Didn't you play one of John Holt's biggest songs?
Well, not just one.
Not just one.
We did a lot, because John Holt recorded a lot of songs for Bonnie Lee.
Right. And Stick By Me, you did, right?
Stick By Me was the first track that I did for John Holt. But I did it as an overdub. As a matter of fact, Robbie Shakespeare took me to Bonnie Lee. And this was before Robbie was playing bass. Come on, out of the way. Yeah.